When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair.
This is Adrienne Berg, and hello, hello, hello. This is Generation Bold, the only show that brings you the fountain of truth about aging. And we have a terrific and varied show today. We're going to be speaking with a young chef who is actually the head chef at a wonderful restaurant. I had great experiences there, but I want you to see what's going on with menus, because our survey shows that you guys do not cook anymore, that the average baby boomer eats out as often as they eat in, and what is the trend in restaurants. I bet that's a big part of your budget, and I bet that restaurants is a big part of your life. It is certainly an easy way to sit back and relax, and we're all becoming such connoisseurs. We know everything about water to wine. Okay, we're also going to be talking about an owner of a great family establishment with interfamily trips. And how about you? Have you been finding it a little bit difficult to plan for the holiday season? Maybe now you have blended families. Maybe the kids are finally married. People live in different areas. Well, what's a great way to have an interfamily, an intergenerational holiday this holiday season? We'll be talking about that. And then we go purely international with one of our favorite guests, Rich Chekin, who is the president of Asset Strategies International, and Jeff Anandapa, really a world-class investment manager when it comes to not only rare stamps and rare coins and everything else that the great Stanley Gibbons in London brings to the table, but some very, very interesting things that you may want to talk about with your grandkids, like collecting books. We already perhaps collect stamps, but what about art? What about some other kinds of artifacts in your life that really can connect intergenerationally? So this is a kind of intergenerational show with food. But before we go and say hello to Wes Jones, our head chef, you're going to be fascinated to hear what he's doing with his menu. I have a kind of a sad note for you. We do have, I'm going to call this a death in the family. And what family is that? The family of gerontologists, the people who brought to us the whole concept of what successful aging is all about. Remember, this is still the hidden topic in most disciplines, in most schools, whether it's medical school, whether it's business. You know, we're just becoming aware of this new stage in life, the age after 60. But there was one person who really had it nailed, and her name, if you don't know it, is Rose Dubroff. And Hunter College really does mourn her loss. She was a professor there, but she was the founder of the Brookdale Center on Healthy Aging. For those of you who are not in my field, that won't mean much, but it's like saying the founder of the world. This was the beginning. This was where all the people who were attorneys in trusts and estates first heard the word elder law. This was the place where people who are now 50, 60 years old, who were sociologists and social workers, who never thought about working with people who are older, learned their craft. She truly was a nationally renowned expert in the field of gerontology. She made Brookdale Center a leader in its field, and many of the things that you can do in your life and in the life of your loved ones, older loved ones right now, was because she was the co-director of the Hunter College Mount Sinai School of Medicine Geriatric Education Center and a longtime member of the Council of Advisors over at Brookdale. This was a woman who went 24-7, and she went 24-7 until the date of her death, really and truly. It's really it's a loss, because she was somebody that you could always go to. And she not only knew her stuff, but she knew the history of her stuff. Her heart was in the right place, and she was made many, many changes that we know that are now part of our laws that have to do with the rights of older adults. We really started with Rose Dubroff. So we salute you. There are very, very few people who have your creds, my friend, and sorry to miss you and see you go. All right, from that, maybe we'll raise a glass to Rose. She would have liked that. Over at Charlie B's Pub and Restaurant. See what I did there? See that segue? But Rose would have liked that one. And this is also she would have liked. I'm a little verklempt here because I really liked Rose. I can't tell you how many conferences I met her at, and I never saw her sitting down. So anyway, Wes Jones. Wes Jones is a young chef, so we're going in another direction here. In addition to learning about restaurants and what's happening with menus, for many of you, there's another take on this, which Wes probably would never even have thought of. And that is that a lot of you have grandchildren and children who want to be chefs. And you think, oh, no, they just saw a couple of shows on television. They think it's all about star power. They're not going to go to school. They're not going to make a living. They're going to be washing dishes in the back room for the rest of their life. Oh, you can't. You can't do it. You can't do it. And so maybe you discourage them. Well, maybe after listening to Wes Jones, you're going to start to encourage them because he has done very well very quickly. So, Wes, thank you so much for being on the show.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
So I do want to inspire people. You know, you are a young guy. Certainly with our listeners, they're going to think you're a very young guy. Most young guys don't think they're young, but we do. You had a pretty heavy career very early. Could you tell us your background and your training?
As far as background and training goes, for me, actually, it goes beyond my schooling and my technical training on a physical level. So when I was growing up, we would go to Mississippi twice a year, and little to be said, that is Southern cooking. So I would wake up in the morning and smell the smells and hear stuff cooking and my grandma saying hi and good morning and the smell of the coffee for them and the Cheerios for us. That inspired me some, but I think what it really is it kind of has to be in a bloodline somewhere. It kind of has to be in your gene pool to be an aspired chef and love what you do. And you just kind of have to be built for it. It through my bloodline, actually, if you will, my grandpa, which I'm sorry, I never met. He ran the food and beverage, for the Louisiana Saints for 20 years, in their food and beverage team. And he did very well. And he just kind of went through my mom would cook every day and I saw that. And I held on to that because I saw what it did to people and how happy it made people when it tasted the first spoon of gumbo and white rice and the root beer they drink with it. You know, it really made me happy and it really made me want to continue that in my family.
So already we're seeing the inspiration and the intergenerational impact of this. You know, I was telling everybody, Wes, that this is an intergenerational show plus food. But it sounds to me that this food is also very intergenerational. And you get a lot of intergenerational people at Charlie B's over at Stowe Flake, which is in Vermont, in Stowe, Vermont. The resort is Stowe Flake. The town is Stowe. The restaurant is Charlie B's. Now, what did you go to school? What was your training?
I did, actually. I went through a culinary program at a community college that my at that time girlfriend, now wife of 15 years. Thank you, Kristen. Love you. She was going to the school. We actually worked together. I was a cook at Chili's, and she was a waitress at Chili's. So we met through the business, and I later found out that she was going to school to be an accountant. And not to be on her same level, but I was going to continue the path of the culinary service or food and beverage industry in some point. So I decided to make a day out of it, go to school at the same time, working full-time and paying my way through semester by semester, no loans, because I didn't want to have anything over, you know. I didn't want to have any debts or anything, so I just took a little while longer, did it like that, and got through. I graduated with a 3.58 grade, you know, 3-point average, and it was awesome. It was a great time, great chefs there, and I learned technique and soup, sauces, consommés, everything to baking and pastries. So
here you go. Obviously, it's a good thing to say to your kids and your grandkids, training is needed. You can get a high grade average. You can be an academic. You can even marry an accountant and you can still be a chef. So now we land you now at Charlie B's. You're a head chef. This is a big deal. And that happened fairly early. But did you bring your Cajun experience to the menu? And how is the menu changing now? Because I know it is.
It really is. We're going to a winter menu very soon. A couple of featured menu items for the stick to your ribs.
Well, this is terrific. And, of course, we have plenty more to go. We'll be speaking with you again in just a moment. And don't go away. You're going to learn all about what it means to own a resort.
And I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
And hello. We are back. This is Adrienne Berg. I know you had a lovely mouth-watering few minutes there with Wes Jones from Charlie B's, and you know that Charlie B's is part of Stowflake, a beautiful resort that I recently had the pleasure of visiting for Halloween, where they closed the whole town of Stowe, and we went out and just had a ball. We're speaking right now with actually the owner of Stowflake. His name is Chuck Bayraw, and you'll love this. He is in the middle of a three-generational ownership of Stowflake, which was founded by his parents in the early 60s, in 1963. But what he's made of it and what his kids have made of it alongside of him is a really major resort for also intergenerational travel. A couple of restaurants, wonderful spa, very unique Ayurvedic spa. We'll talk more about that. We'll talk about also what's around in the town. But this is a place for the holiday season that I thought that anybody listening could get together with their family and kind of renew those family ties. We have a lot of people listening in 33 states. And the one thing I know is that your family is not all in one place. I know for sure that in this time and age, you've got kids all over the place. You've got in-laws all over the place. You've got grandkids all over the place. True intergenerational experience is hard to come by. So let's shift this over to Chuck Bayraw, who has lived an intergenerational experience, even in his own business as well as his own life. Chuck, thank you so much for being with us.
It's a pleasure. I'm here at Stowflake. It's a beautiful day, and you wouldn't know it's going to be snowing here soon.
But it is going to be snowing there soon, and let's talk a little bit about what happens and what a three-generation family, let's say, could do if they were over at Stowflake in a couple of weeks when the holidays begin for Thanksgiving, maybe for Christmas.
Well, it's great. And by the way, I'm not only the middle child of three, I'm also the middle generation.
So, everything.
I got it all. Yeah, my parents started the business in 1963. I came up in 1969. My brother had already been in the business. We now have one of his children, his boy, is our director of sales, and my daughter is our vice president and general manager. And been a very interesting experience, and I think particularly suited, and I don't know if it's just because it's the holidays and skiing and cross-country skiing as well as downhill, and the winter really attracts families, but you know, and partly maybe because this is such a family place and family business, but during the holidays, both Thanksgiving and particularly going into the 2 weeks around Christmas and New Year's, we're probably 90% plus families. Almost it does this. The place changes a little bit because there's a lot of children in the summer, but during the Christmas holidays, just about everybody has children here. So we'll have when we're full, which will be for 2 weeks. We'll have probably 200 adults at least, and maybe 400 children and kids here. Some grandchildren, a lot of children, a lot of multi-generational that could use the holidays to get together.
Yeah, you know, I tell everybody I spend a lot of time in the great state of Utah during ski season, and when people go there, they generally ski, and that's true in Vail too. But Vermont is different, and Stowe is different. You can ski, but you can also snowshoe, you have spa experiences. Tell us about some of the non-ski experiences during ski season, during the ski season over at Stowe Lake.
Yeah, the interesting thing is that we probably now are at a point where maybe 50 to 60% of our guests go downhill skiing. The others, for various reasons, a lot of times people come up and saw, not all the children want to downhill ski. In many cases, one of the spouses is not a downhill skier. So we have snowshoe and cross-country trails right at the resort. You can just walk out your door. And, you know, in particular, snowshoeing, because, you know, skiing is still not for everybody, and it's a pretty physically athletic type of activity. Snowshoeing, you know, if you can walk, you can snowshoe. And literally, we have some very flat terrain. There's also a few hills you can go up, but with flat terrain, we groom the trails for snowshoeing. So it's literally, if you can walk down the hall, you can go out and get some wonderful fresh air and enjoy the snow. We also have dogs sledding here. That's you know, obviously by arrangement, but the dog sleds are here, I think, three or four afternoons, evenings a week in the winter, and they take you out for a dog sled ride, which is really pretty exciting. I think it's almost, in a way, more exciting than the horse carriages, because you're low to the ground and you've got this team of horses and there's a lot of excitement. And then a lot of people, you know, will just use the facilities at the hotel. As you said, the spa is very popular. We've got a great recreation facilities inside and outside. From here, you can walk into the historic village. We've got a lot of shops and restaurants right next to us, but it's about a 1.7-mile walk down a nice plowed sidewalk to the historic village, which a lot of people will do. So, you know, I'd say, yeah, any given day, maybe 40% of the people, maybe more, are in fact doing other activities than downhill skiing.
Yeah, so I will also say that, of course, Chuck and I spoke earlier, I love snowshoeing. I think it's very important for the ageless traveler because it burns calories and you're out there in the beautiful, sometimes wilderness, sometimes not, depends what you want to do. And you're out there with everybody and you don't have to ski. Love the spa because it's Ayurvedic over at Stowe Lake. That's very, very healthful. It's not simply that it's relaxing, which it is too, and beautifying, which it is too. But that can make some real changes in your life and your health. So it's a really good place for the ageless traveler, the mature traveler. That's a fun thing. But they also have theater. I want to bring that up. You have some theater over there as well.
Yes, there is live theater in town. It's a volunteer group, but they're very serious about what they do, and that's great. That's great. You know, and to mention too on this snowshoeing, you know, the one thing is snowshoeing. If you walk at an even moderate pace on snowshoes, which, as you said, I like that ageless travel. I think I'm getting to be one of them.
Right.
If you just walk at a moderate pace, it's like really going out in the summer for a light jog because there's enough resistance with the snowshoes that, you know, I find I go out for 30, 40 minutes on snowshoes, and I feel as tired, and you know, you're going to work up a little puffing, and it's just without any risk at all, and anyone can do it. It's really, really good exercise.
Yeah, and it makes you feel good. It's very empowering too. So let me just tell you how to find out much more about this good place. It's a very good place. This is at 1746 Mountain Road in Stowe, Vermont. And of course, they have a website where everything is. And that's www.stoweflake.com, S-T-O-W-E-F-L-A-K-E. Don't say snowflake, it's Stoweflake, like the town. And,
good.
You know, I will tell you, they love you on TripAdvisor. So I thank you so much, Chuck, and I just want to remind everybody that we'll be back in a couple of minutes, and we are going to be going all over the world when it comes to stamps and books and art and a lot of intergenerational collecting and even investing that you can do with your grandkids. So as I explained when we started our show, this is a pretty intergenerational show. Have a wonderful, wonderful minute, and then be back. We're not going anywhere. You shouldn't either.
Admit I'm inappropriate for my age. Da 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 da. When I look in the mirror, I don't see wrinkles. When I look in the mirror, I see hair on my head, not my shoulders. When I look in the driveway, I see a Mustang, not a Subaru. I'm inappropriate for my age.
My loving husband still has G.I. Joes.
What?
I know they're in the basement.
My wife TiVo's The Vampire Diaries.
You know about that?
Since season 2.
I've seen you Googling motor.
You know, hello, 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 and we are back, and we're having a high old time here. Because in this part of our show, I'm going to reintroduce you to one of my favorite people on the entire planet. And that person is Rich Checkin. Now, you know him. He's probably one of your favorite people, too, because he's been on the show more than once. And we have a very, very special additional guest, and that is Jeff Anandapa. Now, they work together in one particular area, and I'm going to set the stage for you guys. A couple of weeks ago, we had Keith Heddle, from Stanley Gibbons, speaking about rare stamps and rarities in general. And you know we have a website, and that is GenerationBoldRadio.com, where we ask people what is of interest to them. And we got a very, very strong reaction. People wanted to know how they could become investors in tangibles like stamps, like coins, like books. Many of them were collectors already. Many of them want to share this with their children and grandchildren. And frankly, you know, we have an older audience. Everybody knows that. And it does statistically skew a little bit older, these kinds of investments. But people did not know anything about how they could make an investment. And so we wanted to kind of cap our first interview with Keith Heddle of Stanley Gibbons by bringing you the North American representative of Stanley Gibbons here, which is ASI, your good friend Rich Checkin, and also, though, the insider, the investment manager with regards to stamps and coins and many other things in your portfolio, Jeff Anandapa. It's a rare opportunity for you, and I'm extremely excited about it. So let's start with Rich. Rich, first of all, thank you for being back on our show.
It's great to be back, Adrian. Thank you.
So I want to throw this out. You know, this is a show, Generation Bold, The Fountain of Truth. You and Asset Strategies International, ASI, have been in the business for decades, over three decades, with gold, platinum, palladium. You've talked about this on our show many times. And the truth is that your clientele does skew a little bit older. That is true. And this seems to be the case also with rare investments, rare tangible investments. How did you make that swing to from precious metals to this type of investment, and why?
Well, as you said, we've been dealing with precious metals for three decades, and as a result, we fully understand the value of having real, intrinsically valuable assets in your portfolio. They bring certain dimensions to your portfolio that other traditional investment stocks, bonds, etc., don't. So, you know, we speak, we exhibit, you know, we've been doing this for a long time, and about 10 years ago we ran into Jeff Anandapa of Stanley Gibbons, the world's leader in rare stamps, and at this point world leader in rare stamps and collectibles of all kinds. And we liked Jeff from the start. We understood his product from the start and what it could do for investors. And as time went on and we dug a little deeper, we found how much more it could do for your portfolio when you start talking about the legacy potential, the non-correlated nature of the collectible investments they offer. And the key thing for us was, you know, this is an investment that typically was only reserved for the super rich, the uber wealthy. And
right.
Jeff and the folks at Stanley Gibbons found a way to take it to a point where individual investors, average folks like you and me, can actually invest in high-end rare stamps, first edition books and prints, world coins, etc., by riding on the coattails of collectors. And as investors, it brought great benefits to our portfolio.
Yeah, and you know, because we do talk to the older adult, because this is Generation Bold, The Fountain of Truth, we talk about money. It's one of the things that has to do with successful aging. And I'm getting a lot of feedback from people who are listeners saying that they're nervous again. They were nervous in 2008. They're nervous. They did great for several years. They're nervous again because they see their portfolios possibly dropping. Some of them have already had that experience. And they're saying, you know, stocks and bonds used to balance each other out. They don't anymore. And therefore, there is this run toward these tangible investments where your profit center, your risk, is just uncorrelated. The rise and the fall are just uncorrelated to what's going on in the stock market. Now, I have seen charts at 2008, which was one of the worst years for a pullback, and actually ruined many of my listeners' retirements. And the rare stamps, the rare coins, simply did not go down. Many times it went up. So I'm going to toss this over to you, Jeff. This is probably still something that most people do not see as an investment. And you're kind of the man of the world. You know, you could be in one of those great commercials where you have an exotic drink in front of you because you were born in Sri Lanka. You work in Singapore and in London and in New York. What are you seeing? Are you seeing the average person, like Rich is saying, getting interested in tangible investments?
Yes, certainly, and thank you, Edwin, for having me on the show. Absolutely, we tried to make this accessible to the average investor. Stanley Gibbons, as a company, has dealt with collectors of stamps for over 150 years, but the investment department is relatively new, only about 10 years or so old. And our aim was to deal with investors and to put together portfolios of rare stamps, rare coins, books, art, etc., within an investment contract, which makes it easy for investors not only to buy the products but also to sell them. We recognize that the key difference between collectors and investors is that investors need to know how they're going to sell their stamps or their coins at some stage and get a good return on their investment, whereas collectors will often buy a stamp or coin and put it away for 10 or 20 years in their collection and forget about it. So we've tried to make this as accessible. The minimum investment through Stanley Gibbons in a portfolio of whether it's stamps or coins or books starts at only $25,000, which for the average investor is fairly accessible. And with this, they can purchase a whole portfolio. This would be perhaps 5 or 10 stamps or coins across a different range, a different area of collecting. Perhaps they may include British stamps or perhaps some Asian stamps or coins. These would be a diversified portfolio. And this is using the expertise that Stanley Gibbons has. My colleagues in London have been in the business of selling stamps and coins for many decades, and they're truly experts in their particular areas. And I use their expertise to find investment-grade stamps and coins for my clients, putting together diversified portfolios, offering them to clients with free storage, free insurance. So the investor doesn't need to worry about these kind of things. And yes,
right,
we have tried to make it easy.
Yeah, I think that people who have been collectors understand that they've spent a lot of money in storage, or they've made a lot of mistakes, and they've had deteriorating art and manuscripts and so on. And that's a great thing to know. But before we take a little break, I want to just throw it over to Rich again. You are the North American representative. People are interested. I know that because we're only doing this because we've had positive feedback on some of the other programs we've had. So tell people quickly how to find you, and then we will repeat that right after our break.
Okay. The easiest way is our toll-free number from the States or from Canada, 1-800-831-0007. And you can also 1-800-831-0007. Toll-free U.S. and Canada.
And, of course, we have Asset Strategies International has a website, right? Give
Absolutely.
Us the website.
That's www.assetstrategies, all one word, .com.
Okay, now when
we come back. AssetStrategies.com.
at the Treasure Deck. When we come back, we'll continue to talk with these fellows, Jeff Anadapa and Rich Chicken. But we're also going to talk about what's going on offshore. We're going to take you on a little bit of a trip to China. We're going to take you on a little bit of a trip to the Channel Islands in England. And you're going to see that maybe your stamps are having a better time than you are. We'll be right back. This is Adrian Berg. This is Generation Bold. This is the Fountain of Truth. Don't you go anywhere.
And when I look at my wife, she is 22 and running in slow motion on the beach like Bo Derek. You may think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, because I am happy. I think that I'm full of it, but that doesn't bother me, not even a bit, cause I am happy, and I freely admit I'm inappropriate for my age.
Inappropriate for my age. Well, you know what? If you want to be inappropriate for your age, you definitely have come to the right place. This is Adrian Berg, host of Generation Bold, the Fountain of Truth about aging. We talk about so many different things, and we often talk about money and how to preserve your assets. And we bring you things that you may not hear anywhere else, maybe even anywhere else in the world. For example, right now we are with two really superstars of rare tangible investing and tangible investing in general. That is President of Asset Strategies International, Rich Chicken, who's been on our show more than once, and one of his compatriots, Jeff Anadapa, a true man of the world, an international man, who is the investment manager at Stanley Gibbons. Stanley Gibbons Limited is on the Strand in London. You can go visit it. If you're a stamp collector, you know it because you already have all their catalogs. They are the Bible. But we're not talking about collecting. We're talking about investing. And I want to throw it right to Rich right now because I know what people do think. People are very concerned. They've perhaps never heard of it, or they think of it as something that Malcolm Forbes does, and who can they trust? I think it's very important, Rich, to tell people the way ASI operates and how to find ASI for further education.
Appreciate that, Adrian. And yeah, we are a little different than most folks you would find in the tangible sector, whether it be precious metals or, you know, collectibles, et cetera. ASI, you know, for 33 years of existence, has never paid its sales force on a commission basis. And we're an odd duck, if you will, in this world as a result. But for us, we think it's critical. We think, a whole wide range of quality services and products to our clients. We give our sales reps or preferred client relations reps fantastic tools to help our clients, your listeners, you know, achieve their goals. But we don't want our reps trying to sell you something or trying to buy something back from you because they're going to make a whopping commission. If we're hanging carrots in front of their noses, their interests become more important than your listeners, our clients' interests. So we take that very seriously. We reward them not on how big of a sale they make, but on how well they take care of clients. And obviously for them, it's an easy job when they have products like rare stamps, rare coins, first edition prints and books and so forth, like the folks at Stanley Gibbons offer.
Now, just give us the website because you're going to find a lot of education there. Particularly if you look at the Stanley Gibbons information there, you will find some.
Sure.
Download
it's,
and guide.
It's www.assetstrategies.com, or they can call us toll-free at 800-831-0007.
Now, Jeff, and now I'm speaking with Jeff Anadapa, and you heard him the first segment here. He is the investment manager over at Stanley Gibbons, and he has many offices. He's worked in Singapore, he's worked in London, Hong Kong, and, of course, the United States, all for people who are interested in investing in rare stamps and other rare tangibles. And, you know, we had said at the beginning that this kind of investment, for one reason or another, appeals to the older adult. But, Jeff, you've told me more than once that there's a whole world of young people coming into this investment, and many of them are from China. What can you tell us about that?
That's very true, Adrian. Collecting stamps, well, in fact, all types of collecting are still extremely popular in Asia, China, India, Malaysia, and the collector base is very, very young. Just to give you an example, my first visit to China was in 2007. I went to a stamp show in a small provincial town called Luoyang, and they had a stamp show for over 10 days. Now, a stamp show like this in the U.S. or in the U.K. might attract 10 or 20,000 visitors, but this particular one attracted, they say, 750,000 visitors.
Wow.
And these were all families coming with young children, teenagers, people in their early 20s. They were taking photos of themselves in front of the exhibits. So it was a great, great show, great atmosphere. Collectibles are still very much in vogue in China. And for a long time, collecting stamps was banned under the communist regimes. But now anyone can collect stamps. And with the increasing use of internet and so on, Chinese collectors are able to buy stamps from around the world. And this is really what's causing the boom in Asian collectibles, not just stamps, but also coins and art and antiques and so on. This is what's causing prices for these old items to go up in value everywhere around the world. And we've seen record prices. The prices for the world record price for a Chinese stamp was broken 3 times in just 1 year. Same story in India as well. This record was broken twice in 1 year. So,
now,
yes, very much young age collector base.
And, you know, as Rich always says, a rising tide just rises all ships, and that, of course, is having an effect on stamps everywhere. In our last few moments, I'm going to keep this with Jeff, because I mentioned the Channel Islands. What is the connection between Stanley Gibbons, stamps, investing, and the Channel Islands?
Well, the Channel Islands are part of the British Isles, but they're not part of the United Kingdom. So it's kind of offshore from the UK as well. And that's where our investment office is based. The investments are done through the Channel Islands, and the stamps and coins belonging to our investors are stored in the Channel Islands free of charge in our secure vaults covered by our insurance. So that's the connection there. It's a little bit like the Caymans for the U.S., I guess.
And it's free, and that's important because once you collect, you know that it's very expensive to store. But when you invest with Stanley Gibbons, it is free. Now, I'm very thrilled because these are pretty sophisticated folks that we're talking to, and they are sophisticated investments. And as Rich said at the very beginning, it was only available at one time to truly the very wealthy. And when you read all the literature, you're going to see Malcolm Forbes and Bill Gross, who started PIMCO, the largest bond fund, and lots of big names you know. But isn't it wonderful
Queen of England.
That here on Fountain of Truth, we can bring it to you personally if you have an interest. So we have 2 seconds. Rich, just give us one more time where they can find you.
Great. Website is www.assetstrategies.com. Phone number toll-free is 1-800-831-0007.
Fantastic. And for everybody else, this is Generation Bold. We will see you next week. And you know what we say every single week? Get out there, kids, and make it happen.
Yeah.